before election day and referendum day, and so to look at everything political, I'm joined now by the political commentator, Bill Thielman. You can read him Tuesdays and Fridays in the new free daily 24 hours and hear him every Monday morning on CBC Radio's BC Political Panel. Mr. Thielman is a former communications director for former Premier Glenn Clark and the president of West Star Communications. He is also one of the registered sponsors for No STV, one of the groups lobbying against the STV proposal that's up for a vote on May 17th. Their website is nostv.ca. That's K-N-O-W-S-T-V.ca. Please welcome to the commentary.ca, Bill Thielman. Good morning, Mr. Thielman.
Good morning.
Bill, thanks so much for doing this again.
Thank you.
Talk to us about No STV and the people who are behind this group that you and Bud Smith are heading up.
Sure, and just the fact that Bud Smith and I are heading it up is interesting in and of itself. If you know the political history of British Columbia, Bud Smith is the former Social Credit Attorney General, a longtime SoCred, former aide to Premier Bill Bennett, and someone with whom I would have a large difference politically, I'm sure. But Bud and I and a great group of other people, what I'm calling the United Nations of BC politics, basically, have got together. We probably don't agree on 99 out of 100 topics that you could come up with, but on the one, which we do agree on, it's that STV, or the single transferable vote, is not a good electoral system for British Columbia. And just further on the group, I mean, we've got Jack Monroe, the former head of the Woodworkers Union in BC for a long time, and Andrew Reimer, the Green Party's only elected official in British Columbia, the Vancouver School Board trustee. We've got Anita Hagen from the NDP, the former education minister, and Bruce Strachan, former social credit cabinet minister for Prince George, and many other people. Bob Plutkus, longtime civil servant with both NDP and social credit governments, and John Young from the University of Northern British Columbia, political scientist up there. So really a wide range of people.
How do you respond to the criticism that it is the people who are opposed to STV are generally old-time party hacks?
Well, I was just dealing with that, in fact, and it came from Rafe Mayer.
That's what he said.
And, you know, the fact is we've got a wide variety of people. Some have been in an elected life, some have not. No one, with the exception of Andrea, is even involved directly in electoral politics at the moment, and she's on, obviously, a local level. And both sides have a wide range of people who've been involved in politics, and I don't think there's anything wrong with that. On the Yes STV side, they've got former NDP Attorney General Andrew Petter. They've got Rafe Mayer, who's also a former Social Credit Cabinet Minister. They've got people like Gary Lunn and Nils Jensen, who was a candidate for leadership of the NDP, Gary Lunn, the MP for the Conservative Party, Troy Lanigan, who's been involved in backroom politics, and is also Canadian Federation of Taxpayers. So there's all sorts of people on both sides, and I find it really actually unfortunate that the Yes STV side seems to try and make this, the grassroots politically pure versus the backroom people, when it's just not true.
The Ipsos Reid poll that came out on Friday said that 64% know little or nothing about the STV proposal. Do you think that works in your favor, this lack of information, this lack of passion on the proposal?
No, I don't think so. I mean, the one thing that I agree with all of the folks I've been debating over the last couple of months who are in favor of STV is that we think that there should be an informed electorate making this decision. And it doesn't, having people who don't know what's going on and have no idea what STV is or isn't, I don't think it helps the process because realistically they could vote either way. They could just say, oh, well, I know nothing about this new electoral system. I don't even know what it stands for, the letters stand for, but I'll vote yes anyway. That's not a good way to change your electoral system, and I think that's one of the reasons why it's good that we have a double threshold and a high threshold to pass this. Our group, No STV, we've got our website up. We've been working very hard to try and ensure that people know as much as possible about this, obviously from our perspective, but as have the other folks. But regrettably, there isn't a lot of information out there. I find that the only thing that I object to is that the Yes side has been complaining about how they don't have much money and the government should give them more money. We have received zero funding whatsoever from the government or any support from government at all, whereas the Citizens Assembly was able to send, which was very much pro-STV, it was able to send a very color glossy mailer to every household in the province. Then there was another mailer from the Attorney General's Ministry explaining allegedly the electoral process, change process, and which we thought was again shaded in favor of STV. We've had no opportunity to respond to that. So we're working on a budget of less than $10,000, but we're doing the best we can to get the word out.
You actually have people who are on the Citizens Assembly who are part of your group, right?
Yes. Yes, I'm sorry, I just beeped you there by mistake.
Bill, are you there?
Joseph, I apologize. Are you still there?
Yeah, I'm still here.
I hit my canceled call alert because I wanted to make sure it didn't get interrupted. Are you able to edit?
No, but we'll go ahead.
I apologize.
This is live radio. That'll be fine.
He was being interrupted, and I interrupted us. We have two members of the Citizens Assembly, and Rick Dignard and G.O.T. Gill, who both disagree strongly with STV. And I think, again, you know, we've got the impression that, oh, the Citizens Assembly was unanimous or something. Far from it. And so I think that what they have to contribute is very, very important, and how they can actually explain some of the process that went on and why they object to it, I find quite fascinating.
But do you think that the first past the post system, the current system that we have, that it is imperfect, that there are negative aspects to it?
Oh, I think I doubt that there's any electoral system that would be perfect. And my position, as opposed to the no STV position, would be somewhat different. But I think what we haven't tried to do in British Columbia is look at a system of electoral reform, legislative reform instead of electoral reform. There's lots of things that could be done to improve our existing system, our current electoral system, legislatively, because what most people object to is that the premier has enormous power, that the parties and the MLAs, they go to Victoria and they become the Victoria representative to you instead of the other way around, which is what they're elected to do, etc. That's not going to change under an STV system or any other electoral system, really. That is in large measure, in my view, partly set up by the legislative system, where they have to follow the party line, that you have party discipline and you have confidence votes, etc. And there are ways that could be around that. For example, we could have a situation where the BC budget has to be passed by three-quarters of the legislature. And in most cases, the 2001 result was a strange anomaly that happens once in a century or longer. But in most cases, that would require getting support from opposition parties. And that would not require any electoral system change. It would just be a change in the legislative procedure.
But don't you think all the parties talk about change, reforming the system or more free votes and that sort, and listening to caucus members? But nothing seems to get done over the last, 30, 40 years.
Well, I would differ with you strongly on that one. I totally agree with everything Premier Campbell does, but he said that he would bring in a number of changes, and he did them, a fixed election date. I don't personally agree with it, but it's certainly a major electoral change or a legislative change. He has allowed some free votes. We've seen some of his backbench members vote against the government without being, apparently, I don't see any evidence they were punished for it. And there's also been open cabinet meetings, which I, again, personally think is a gimmick, but certainly a major change there. And I think we've seen that in other governments as well. We now have a secret ballot for the speaker in both British Columbia and in Canada. So there's a number of changes that have happened. Has it got to the root of the problems? No. Will changing electoral systems mean that all the MLAs suddenly get along with each other and parties have no influence over them? Of course not. The proponents of STV are making promises that are really quite far-fetched. And the reality is that under STV, it will be probably more important than ever to have the financial support of a political party to get elected. For example, in Vancouver, we could be looking at, Surrey and in Victoria, ridings of seven members. It's hard enough to get the message out for one MLA in one riding under our current geographic riding boundaries. To imagine having to go seven times larger than that, and you're talking about a multi-million dollar campaign in a seven-member riding. That's just not possible for any individual, and it's certainly not possible for a third party, an independent, etc. So I think an STV system could actually make individual MLAs more dependent on the party, and we've seen some of that in Ireland.
Nick Lonan was on this interview segment a week or two ago, and he said that he's in favor of it because election results thus far, 2001 and 1996, did not properly reflect the views and the opinions of the populace. So he's in favor of changing the system. Mm-hmm. Do you think that keeping a first past the post will obviously it doesn't reflect the wishes of the public? So,
You say obviously, but I'm not sure that's the case. And I don't think we've actually seen a lot of polling saying exactly what system would you like. Do you think we need to change it? I think these are good questions to be asked. But the position of no STV is very clear, that we are only opposed to the STV system. We are not saying, and many of our members, Andrew Reimer is a strong proponent of a mixed member proportional, as are many of the other members of our group. What we're saying is don't accept a flawed, bad electoral system that really is used in a very, very small number of countries and locations as your only choice. There's four other provinces that are currently under going under electoral revisions and looking at different systems, including MMP in Quebec. We say and we believe that there should be a good examination of the whole situation. And if there's a no vote, people should have an opportunity to say, okay, that wasn't what we wanted. And that's not what people have supported. I mean, if you looked at the number of submissions to the Citizens' Assembly, the overwhelming majority were in favor of mixed member proportional, and yet the Citizens' Assembly chose STV. There's some good reasons why they did that. They were sort of forced to some degree into it by the restrictions the government put on them. But to say that the population of British Columbia wants STV, they don't even know what the heck it is.
So no STV is not in favor of the status quo, right?
No, absolutely not. No, that we've taken absolutely no position beyond one that says STV is not a good system for British Columbia upon examination of it, and that we should certainly look at other possibilities for electoral reform and legislative reform.
But you'll admit, though, that if the referendum fails on the 17th, Mr. Campbell will have no desire to look into electoral reform again. He'll say, we've looked at it already, we've had a citizens' assembly, why should we, and Nick Lonan says it'll be dead for another generation.
Well, I don't agree with that, and I don't think it's solely up to Mr. Campbell either. We don't know what the results will be, but, I mean, say even 40% or 45% voted in favor of STV, but that would be one indication that there was some level of support. I think Mr. Campbell made a strong commitment to electoral reform when he appointed the Citizens' Assembly, and I don't see why that would change. I think all three other leaders have made it very clear that Mr. Marino from Democratic Reform supports STV. Adrian Carr wants an initiative to bring in MMP, and the party position for the NDP is in favor of MMP or some form of proportional representation. So I don't see why at all that electoral reform would be suddenly off the agenda if the STV doesn't pass the vote.
One of the things on your website, the nostv.ca website, is it talks about these unintended consequences of bringing in STV. Talk to me about some of those unintended consequences.
Well, one of the big problems we have with this STV proposal is that it really will reduce, not increase, local accountability and responsibility, and that's because you have these giant ridings. For example, in British Columbia, we currently have 79 geographic ridings, and we have about 4 million people. In Ireland, which is under an STV system, they have about 4 million people, and they have 166 different ridings in a very small area, probably in the bottom half of Vancouver Island by comparison. So their idea of, where STV may well work for them, and that's certainly a system that they've had for many years, is in a very densely populated country with no great geographic divide. And British Columbia is not that way at all. I mean, it's just the idea that the north half of Vancouver Island should have 6 MLAs covering from Port Hardy down to Duncan just doesn't make sense to us. And it also means that you're going to have major urban population centers within those ridings potentially dominating the entire large riding, whereas now we're, whatever you may say about the current system, you're guaranteed a very clear definition and a relatively reasonable size definition of a geographic riding for an MLA to provide services in. We don't know what would happen with, for example, 6 members in the north half of the island.
The other thing, too, is that the STV proposal is complicated.
Yeah, I mean, we believe it is. We know that in New Zealand last year, they moved, in their local government elections, they moved from a traditional first-past-the-post system to an STV system. They had 11% of all ballots cast spoiled. They were thrown out disqualified because people didn't follow the allegedly simple as 1-2-3 rules. And that's 14 times the number of spoiled or disqualified ballots they've ever had before. Currently, the New Zealand government has got a national government inquiry into what happened with that election and why things went so badly and how so many people were confused by it. That's just one indication, in my mind, of some of the problems we have. I've sat and debated proponents of STV at some length, and they've taken 20 minutes, half an hour, to try and explain what would happen with your vote after you cast it. And I just, and those are people who are in favor of it. So I do think it's complicated, and I think they don't like to hear it, but I think people will find it very confusing.
But can't you give the people credit that they'll be able to figure it out in due course?
Well, I mean, I think obviously people are, I give people lots of credit. I think, I don't see, though, that it's a simple system. I think people have real questions about what would happen to their vote, how their vote gets sliced and diced and fractionalized and moved from first, second, to third preferences. I also think people are rightly concerned that to rank, for example, 30 to 50 candidates is an impossible task. It's hard enough to figure out what the positions are of one or two or three people in any given geographic riding. To have 30 or 40 or 50 seems to me to be impossible. And we know, for example, Western Australia uses for SDV for a Senate elections, they have most people, 95%, just check off the party box. They don't actually try and rank the candidates, which seems to me to be pretty clear indication that STV doesn't work as a system for most people.
How is the campaign so far? When you talk to people, and you, are they convinced by your argument?
Well, currently, I think what we've got is a large number of people who just don't know, and I think there's a narrow margin of people who are saying they're going to vote yes over no, but nowhere near enough to pass in the referendum. So whether that will hold up or not, I don't know. I don't see in the last 2 weeks of the campaign that there's going to be a huge amount more information on from either side on STV that's going to reach most people. So if the STV proponents can't get above, I think they're somewhere around 50% or less, or saying they'd vote yes. And you know, it's one of the hardest things to predict because we don't know what happens with people who say they don't know enough. If you don't know enough, do you not vote on the referendum question, just vote in the election, or do you vote no because you don't know enough about it, or do you say, oh, I'll take a flyer on it and vote yes? It's a hard one to predict. Certainly, at the moment, if the vote held up, if you just remove the don't know anything about it, don't know what they're going to do, the ballot would fail, but it would probably have somewhere around 40 to 50% support. But it's really hard one to predict.
Do you think it's been good that the NDP and the Liberals have stayed out of this and have not given an official position?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. No, there's been no... I know there's been a few MLAs. Karen Manhas, who's also a retiring Liberal MLA in Coquitlam area, he's joined our group and he's spoken out, and Christy Clark from the Liberals has also said that she feels that it would be a mistake to adopt STV, but and she's also retiring, of course. But no, I haven't seen any party position whatsoever.
But don't you think that they should or shouldn't? The official party leaders, at least, Campbell and James?
I think it's challenging for a party to say, well, this is what this process recommended, but we're against it. But the NDP has a position that isn't an STV position in favor of STV, and they've decided not to pursue that. They've said it's up to the individuals. It doesn't bother me one way or the other, to be honest. I think it's up to individual voters to decide. If they don't find that that's appropriate, then I guess they could express their concerns. But, you know, only one party has actually come out in favor of STV, and that's Democratic Reform.
You're an old poll. Do you look at polls and the sort? Do you think it'll pass on the 17th, or do you think it'll fail?
If I was forced to, injected with sodium pentothal and forced to bet or make a prediction, I would say it would probably be defeated. But I'm honestly not betting any money on this one. It's very hard to predict.
Let's talk about the debate last night. Do you think that the common knowledge is that Adrian Carr probably did better than most expected?
I don't think that's the case at all. I was actually in the studio for the debate with the other media there. And what I've read, I think Mike Smith in the province had it right this morning. I think Carol James clearly, and I'm not saying this for partisan reasons, but clearly was the winner out of it. I think Adrian did okay for herself just by showing up. She gets points for it, obviously. I thought Premier Campbell was a very poor performance from him compared to some of his other performances, and I've seen him debate a couple times in the past. He looked very nervous and uncomfortable and clearly had decided not to confront either Carr or James. And I think he looked poorly by it, but in my view, no question James was a clear winner, and that's what the polling that Ipsos Reid did the evening of the event with people who actually watched it. So.
Wasn't it 33% though that thought that there was no winner?
Yes, 33% didn't feel there was a winner, but I think my sense is the consensus of with media and other people is that the person who benefited the most, who won the debate, was James. It's up to everyone to decide, of course.
Right. You were with Glenn Clark in 1996 during that election, were you not?
Yes.
What is it about Gordon Campbell that fails to resonate with the public? What about him fails to resonate?
Well, I wrote a column in 24 Hours last week that said, I quoted Bill Vanderzam's old quote, was, nobody likes Gordon Campbell and nobody knows why. Mr. Campbell has, which one of Bill's better quotes, Mr. Campbell has always trailed his party, with the one short exception of the 2001 election period where he was actually slightly more popular than the Liberal Party. He doesn't come across well, and I'm told, and I've met Premier Campbell privately on a couple of occasions, he can be very very funny and
he is different. He is different than what we see on TV, right?
That's certainly my impression, and talking with people who have far more experience with him than I, that's the case. And he clearly, one thing I give the Liberals credit for, he's kept their caucus together, a very disparate group of people, and he's, you know, with the exception of a couple of MLAs who quit, he's kept them together. But my sense that his persona is very much of a very stiff, ideologically rigid suit, and I think he actually is fairly ideologically rigid. He may be more personable in small gatherings and without the media or the public present, but he does not translate well in modern politics. And last night I felt he looked sort of almost somewhat Nixonian in terms of the debate between Nixon and Kennedy in 1960. He did not come across well. He looked very uncomfortable, and probably because he was. I think, you know, the other thing is that Joseph, he's traveling in a bubble, and he did this in 96, and he did it in 2001. He doesn't meet with the general public. He doesn't take any chances. He only goes to friendly crowds, etc. And this was the first occasion where he actually was severely challenged in this whole campaign by two women who had, you know, absolutely no inclination to support him at all, as opposed to all the friendly gathering he goes to. So I think he probably was feeling pretty uncomfortable, and it showed.
Will this hurt him in the...
Yeah. Yeah, no, I don't think there's any question that I mean, it's not a there was no knockout punch, sort of the usual boxing analogy you like to use. But on points, he definitely lost to Miss James and to a lesser degree to Adrian Carr.
Bill, thanks so much for joining us today.
My pleasure.
I appreciate it a great deal. I know that we took some time to figure it out, but I'm glad we finally did it. And thanks for bearing with me with my schedule.
Well, thank you.
The website for KNOWSTV is www.knowstv.ca.
KNOWSTV.ca.
And you can read Bill Tillman's political commentary Tuesdays and Thursdays in 24 hours, also online at vancouver.24hours.ca. And, of course, listen to him Monday mornings on CBC Radio's BC Political Panel. For the commentary, I'm Joseph Plano.